Hello, and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 316. This is 1 Kings chapter 13. So, a continuation of the story of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Remember that Rehoboam is the king of, he is Solomon's son. He's the king of Judah and Benjamin. Whereas Jeroboam, who was a rebel leader, he became king of the other 10 tribes, which was revealed to him through a prophet. So that was predetermined. So we have that situation. Now, the Lord, at the Lord's command, it says in chapter 13, a man of God, so this would be a prophet, he's from Judah under King Rehoboam. He goes to Bethel, which is where King Jeroboam lives, right? And he arrives there just as Jeroboam was approaching the altar to burn incense. Now, remember, Jeroboam is doing things his own way, and it is in violent disrespect to the Lord God of Israel. He's treating a sacred thing with violent disrespect. This is detestable to God. So anyways, God sends this prophet. The prophet prophesies to the altar. This is what the Lord says. A child named Josiah will be born into the dynasty of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests. He's saying, this is what will happen at this altar. There will be a king named Josiah. He will sacrifice the priests from the pagan shrines. That same day, the man of God gave a sign to prove his message. He said, the Lord has promised to give this sign. This altar will split apart and its ashes will be poured out on the ground. Okay, well, Jeroboam didn't want to hear that, right? He was already paranoid about something like that happening. He knew he was doing wrong. So he heard the man of God speaking against the altar, and he says to his men, seize that man. But as soon as he says it and he throws out his arm to point to the prophet, his arm seizes up and he can't move it. It becomes paralyzed. So you can imagine how freaked out he would be. So that took him by surprise. And because he already sensed that he already knew he was wrong. He immediately knows what the problem is. He doesn't think, oh man, something's wrong with my arm. He knows that it's the God of the prophet who came to speak against the altar. He knows that this is a man of God. So the king cries out to the man of God, please ask the Lord your God to restore my hand again. So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand was restored, and he could move it again. So obviously the king now knows, okay, my bad. Wow, you just proved to me the power of your God. And it meant so much to him. You can assume that he had good intentions. Maybe he was thankful. Maybe he had a change of heart. We don't know. But, actually we do know, because at the end of this section, it says Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. Sometimes we have a big God moment and we see the light and we make big changes, but eventually we revert back to our old behavior. That seems that maybe that's what happened here with Jeroboam. But anyways, at this moment, he says, come back to the palace with me and have something to eat and I will give you a gift. Now, it doesn't say what his intentions are. Let's assume this was a meaningful God moment to him, and he really wanted to do something nice for the prophet. He wanted to spend time with him. Maybe he wanted to get in his good graces because he just realized the power of the one true God. So, I love what the man of God says to the king. He says, even if you gave me half of everything you own, I would not go with you. I would not eat or drink anything in this palace. Or in this place, for the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there, and do not return to Judah by the same way you came. So he left Bethel and went another way home. So here, the man of God is being obedient to God. He's in relationship with God, obviously. He's a prophet of God. So he hears from God. He's obedient. He knows that God told him not to do that. But what happens is interesting. It says that there was an old prophet living in Bethel, and his sons came home and told him what the man of God had done. So now let's think about this. This is an old prophet. He's living in Bethel. If he was a true follower of the Lord, he wouldn't be in Bethel. He would be in Judah. Remember? Because back in 1 Chronicles 11, verse 16, it says, from all the tribes of Israel, those who sincerely wanted to worship the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem. So, but this prophet was in Bethel. So, right away, the prophet of God should be apprehensive about taking advice from this man, right? But he goes after him. He wants to find him. The old prophet does. So the sons tell him which direction he went, and he wants to go find him. So he rode after the man of God and finds him sitting under a great tree. Are you the man of God who came from Judah? Yes, I am. He says, come home with me and eat some food. No, I cannot. The man of God from Judah got very clear instructions from God of what to do and what not to do. And he was not to go back. But in verse 18, it says, the old prophet answered, I am a prophet too. And just as you are, and an angel gave me this command from the Lord, bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink. Now the scripture tells us that this was a lie, but the old man was lying to him. But because he told the man of God from Judah that he also was a prophet, the man of God believed him. He took his word because they shared that gift of prophecy. So the man of God gave credibility to the old prophet who he didn't know. We can assume he didn't know him. All he knew about him was here was this man that says he's a prophet and he lives in Judah. But what the man of God, the prophet from Judah, did know is what God spoke to him very clearly. Now, God is not going to trick us, and he would not have tricked this man of God. He would not have said, don't do this, and then change the game. And then later tell him through another person, okay, remember what God said? Well, that's not really true. This is what God told me. No, if God wants you to know something, he can tell you. If you recognize his voice and you know that God spoke something to you and it was instruction to do something or to not do something, that takes precedence over what others tell you, especially people that you don't know, that you have no reason to trust. Like I said, all he knows is that he's another prophet, supposedly, because he said so, and that he lives in Bethel. So he goes back with him. So disappointing. While they were sitting at the table, now this is interesting because this prophet lives in Bethel and he lied to get him to come back and eat with him. And you wonder why he wanted so desperately for this prophet to come back and eat with him. Did he just want to have a conversation with another prophet? Was he missing his faithful brothers? Maybe he did truly have a relationship with the one true God. We don't really know. It doesn't tell us that. But it's interesting in verse 20 that it says, then while they were sitting at the table, a command from the Lord came to the old prophet. So God did speak to the old prophet. So he really was a prophet. It's surprising that a prophet would lie. Maybe he thought that he knew better. Even though God did not say, come home and eat some food. An angel told me that you need to come home with me. Maybe he was trying to manipulate the situation because what he felt like what he wanted was more important than what the prophet said he was told. Maybe he didn't trust what the prophet said. But they were both prophets. He cried out to the man of Judah, the old prophet did. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have disobeyed the command the Lord your God gave you. That must have been quite a moment for the man of God from Judah, right? Like here, you brought me here. And now you're telling me that I defied the Lord. I mean, talk about mixed signals. But clearly this was a prophet. God was speaking through him. And he said, you defied the Lord. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors. Now that's a big deal. After the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the old prophet saddled his own donkey for him. I'm sure he felt guilty, right? I got him into this mess. I got him in trouble. So the man of God heads back to Judah on the old prophet's donkey. But as he's traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. His body lay there. Now, it's interesting that the lion killed him, but he's standing beside it. Obviously, that goes against a lion's nature. He would have tore the body to shreds. He would have eaten the carcass, and certainly the donkey as well. So that's unusual. So you know that this is the will of God. You know that because this is goes against nature. People who passed by saw the body lying in the road and the lion standing beside it, and they went and reported it to Bethel, where the old prophet lived. Of course, the old prophet was very upset. He felt horrible. Most importantly, what he realized was that the prophet was telling the truth, the one who came from Judah, and that the Lord has fulfilled his word by causing the lion to attack him and kill him. And it was even more obvious because the lion didn't eat him. So he brought his body back to Bethel, and the prophet of God from Judah was buried in Bethel. Think about that. He chose to live in Judah under the leadership of Rehoboam in the line of Christ. And now he's not buried with his ancestors. He's buried in the land of those who have fallen from God. So he was misled by someone who should have been trusted. He should have been able to trust that person. So this really just speaks to me in a way that, you know, tells me we really need to be careful, the advice we listen to, and discerning the words of God. So I'm going to speak to that. But first, I want to finish this up and just say that even after this, because you know that that prophet, the old prophet in Bethel, you know that he got the message loud and clear and was trying to warn Jeroboam, because that's what prophets did. Kings trusted prophets to do that. But verse 33 says, but even after this, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil ways. He continued to choose priests from the common people. He appointed anyone who wanted to become a priest for the pagan shrines. So this was detestable on so many different levels. It's a pagan shrine. Jeroboam was doing things his own way, determining the dates of the festivals, imitating things of the Lord. He was trying to pretend to offer the Israelites something that was of value to them, but it wasn't. It was all a facade. It was all leading them to the trough of sin and death. So this became a great sin and resulted in the utter destruction of Jeroboam's dynasty from the face of the earth. Okay, now I went to gotquestions.org. This teaching today really had me thinking about, you know, how do we recognize the voice of God? How do we recognize whose advice to listen to and whose advice to disregard, right? So first of all, I put in the question, how can we recognize the voice of God? And I'm not reading all of it, but this is the gist of what the website says. Says this question has been asked by countless people throughout the ages. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. When we have a question or a decision in our lives, we should see what the Bible has to say about it. God will never lead us contrary to what he has taught us in his word. Okay, Titus 1 verse 2 tells us that. Now, that prophet of God didn't have the Bible as we have it today. He didn't have the New Testament. But he had enough to know how to discern God's voice. So I want to speak to this situation in the scripture first, and then I want to talk about how this applies to us, okay? Because this gets personal. First of all, should the prophet from Judah have recognized that this was a false prophet? It's kind of confusing because I don't know if you would call him a false prophet. He lied to the prophet, but he was a prophet. He was just working his own agenda instead of consulting God. So I don't know that that really qualifies as a false prophet, but regardless, he led one of God's people astray. So how do we recognize bad advice? Okay. Jesus said a tree is recognized by its fruit in Matthew 12:33. When looking for fruit, here are three specific tests to apply to any teacher to determine the accuracy of his or her teaching. Now, the prophet from Judah didn't know this man, so he didn't really know the fruits. Maybe he should have pre-qualified that. Well, you say this and that I should go back. God told me this, but you're telling me this. Maybe he should have examined, well, who exactly are you? What is your reputation? How do I know that what you're telling me is accurate? Because if God really wanted him to go back, God wouldn't have told him not to go back. So, these are the three specific tests that we can apply to anyone, a teacher, or anyone giving us advice, whether or not, especially if we think it should supersede what God tells us. Number one, what does this teacher say about Jesus? Now, of course, this wasn't really part of the equation at this moment because Jesus hadn't been born yet. But for us today, this says, beware of anyone who denies that Jesus is equal with God, who downplays Jesus' sacrificial death, or who rejects Jesus' humanity. 1 John 22 says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Okay, number two, does this teacher preach the gospel? We know the gospel is the good news concerning Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection according to scriptures. As Paul warns in Galatians 1:7, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. No one, not even a great preacher, has the right to change the message that God gave us. So number one and number two, these qualifiers, the prophet didn't really have access to this because this is all, you know, the gospel is from the New Testament. Whether or not what they say about Jesus, that didn't apply yet. None of this applied. But the third one, he could have recognized. The third test says, does this teacher exhibit character qualities that glorify the Lord? Speaking to false teachers, Jude 11 says, they have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These are all stories of the Old Testament that presumably this prophet from Judah would have known about. In other words, a false teacher can be known by his pride, right? All these stories, Korah and Balaam and Cain, they all fell to their pride and greed and rebellion. Jesus said to beware of such people and that we would know them by their fruits or lack thereof, right? He said that in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. So, do we want to talk about how to recognize the voice of God? I don't think that's really part of this lesson. I think that it's clear in the story that both prophets hear from God. The failure here was that, first of all, the old prophet didn't trust the prophet from Judah. He didn't trust that his words were of God. And he encouraged the prophet to go against what God had told him. That alone should have been a sign to the prophet from Judah that maybe this man couldn't be trusted. He says he's a prophet, but he's from Bethel. So can you really trust him? And he's telling me to go against what God clearly told me. If you get an instruction from God and he clearly told you to do something or not do something, do not take someone's advice, even if they seem like they're on your side. When we hear God's voice, sometimes to us today, he speaks mostly through the word, right? So we have to be in the word. We have to study the Bible and have quiet contemplation. And the more time we spend intimately with God and in his word, the easier it is for us to recognize his voice and his leading in our lives. You know, think about employees at a bank. They are trained to recognize counterfeit money. And how do they do that? By studying genuine money, real money, so closely that it makes it easier to spot a fake. You see, so we should be so familiar with God's word that when someone speaks untruth to us, we recognize it. So like I said, God could speak audibly to people today, but mostly he speaks through his word. Sometimes God leading can come through the Holy Spirit, through our conscious, through circumstances, and through the exhortations of other people. But be careful about those other people. Qualify them. Qualify their statement. Do their lives produce fruit? Do you see evidence that they lead a godly life? Not that they're perfect, but they strive to do God's will. And does what they speak verify what you already know in Scripture, what God has already told you in your heart and your mind? When it comes right down to it, if you belong to God, he gives you a sense. We have intuition. We have the Holy Spirit that is a discerning spirit that helps us make wise choices. Take time, think about it. Think about what the Bible says. Pray about it. And we will make better choices. So that is how we can recognize God's voice, and that is how we can recognize erroneous advice from seemingly trustworthy people. So that was a great lesson. That's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon.